You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, this is the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, and we'd like to thank you for tuning in today. We're going to be going back to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, and if you want to be turning there, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. 321-632-9538 is their phone number, 321-632-9538. You don't often think about your air conditioner until you need it. And let me tell you, this time of year, you need it. And whenever you have your AC and it's not working the way that it should, you want to be able to trust the people who are coming out to take care of that. Wyrick Air has been providing professional sales services and repairs for air conditioning and heating systems for over 50 years. They work in residential settings and light commercial settings as well. They even provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. Their service area goes all throughout Brevard County, all the way from Barefoot Bay, all the way up into the Scottsmore area. They're not afraid to go wherever you need them to go to remedy your problem. So their phone number, once again, is 321-632-9538. License number is CAC-182-1309. Dennis is a pastor here in Central Florida. Pastors a church over in Geneva off of State Road 46. And he preaches the word, and he brings the values of the word to his business. He's not looking to take advantage of you. He's looking to serve you and get you up and running as quickly as he can. So thank you to Wyrick Air for being friends of the Refresh Radio program. They are great, great people. So today we are going back to John chapter 15. We'll either finish this section today or tomorrow, but we're talking about some of the different applications that living a life of love has in believers' lives. I was teaching on a Wednesday night here a few weeks ago, and the Bible study we were doing said, if we love someone, we are going to tell them the truth, even if it is not something that they want to hear. Now, I do want to tell you, the Bible says we're supposed to speak the truth in love. There's a lot of people who, you know, they say, look, I just tell it like it is. I am blunt. I am straightforward, and bam. And I will tell you that speaking the truth is great. But unless we do it in love, we are still missing the mark. So whenever we speak the truth to someone, it is because we love them and we do not want to see them come to a catastrophic end. The study guide we were talking about was the fact that Moses was, even though he was telling Pharaoh what was going to happen, he would also go and pray for Pharaoh, even though he knew Pharaoh had hardened his heart and positioned himself against God and was fighting what God was wanting to do. Moses was still praying for him. And so I want to encourage you to be praying for those who may be persecuting you or maybe it's a family member and they haven't had their eyes opened to the reality of the gospel yet. Maybe they're in a prodigal condition and they're living in spiritual darkness. Keep on praying for them because it is very, very important. You know, we just had the 4th of July, Independence Day, on Saturday. And that day was not the day that the battle was won. It was the day the Declaration was signed. It was the way, it was the day that it was officially commissioned and dispatched to the King of England. From that time forth, there was a lot of intense days. There was a lot of loss and a lot of gain, and ultimately freedom became our reality. And so if you are new to faith, if you are new to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to be the one to prepare you and say, you know what, I celebrate that you have asked Jesus to forgive you your sins, be the Lord of your life. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. But God the Holy Spirit is going to help you in the days ahead, because that's not the finish line. It's the launching pad. And God is going to be working to bring about the beauty of holiness in all of our lives. So today we're going to go back to John chapter 15. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11. We're going to read on down to verse number 21. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." So, we talked about in verse 12 on Friday's program, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And so we often talk that loving one another is the mark of distinction for genuine Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. But there was something interesting that happened to me a little over a week ago. And that was, I have some prescriptions that I have to take throughout the day, and I take them all at night. And I had one of them filled. So this was almost 2 weeks ago, not quite. And when I got home, I was getting ready to take my prescriptions at night. That one prescription had not completely run out yet. And so I picked it up. I wanted to make sure that there were still, you know, medications in there. And when I did, I saw the label, and I read something on the label that I had not known. And one of the things that I struggle with is that I am not great at sleeping. It is it's a bit of a struggle for me. I had an office manager who was with me for 24 years until she retired, and one of the things that that she used to marvel at is there were a lot of days I'd be up from 4:30 of a morning because I'd gone to sleep, finally fallen asleep, woke up, and then I was just wide awake, and I would be functioning on 4 or 5 hours worth of sleep, and that wasn't every night, but it happened quite a bit. And so I looked at this medication, and I was getting ready to take it, and when I looked at the label, it said, take this one of a morning. And I'd been taking it at night. And come to find out that medication, when you take it, it's not the primary purpose for it, but it actually helps to keep you alert. And so while some medications were trying to help me sleep, others were trying to keep me awake. So there was a battle going on, and the battle wasn't because of anything other than I had not read the instructions carefully. Modern society keeps trying to redefine love in terms of what they think that love is. Jesus said the standard for his disciples was to love one another as he has loved us. And so in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, you see that he laid down his life for us. And so Christian love is a sacrificial love in the line of what Jesus would do, of how he would love. He loved us so much that he came, he set aside his glory. He came, he lived among us. He showed us by example. He was willing to lay down his life. He told the truth. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. All of that was done because of his love. He called these disciples to himself that they might be with him. And so it is not just that we have love one for another, but we love one another the way that Jesus loved one another. And so while the world's style of love is self-centered or instant gratification, they want the benefits of love without the sacrifice of love. The standard for Christians is we're supposed to love one another the same way that Jesus did. So a Christian's love is not a consumerism mindset. It is a sacrificial mindset that loves one another in such a way that it is to the benefit of those we are in godly relationships with. This last weekend, there are some Sundays when I don't know how it happens, but there's some Sundays where just a lot of people are going to be gone at the same point in time. And so what was that? June 28th was one of those days. Everybody was coming up and saying, "Hey, I'm going to be gone this weekend. Going to be gone this weekend. Going to be gone this weekend. Going to be gone for so." And it's like, you know, if you're a big church, and that happens, it may not, you know, be too impactful for you. But when you're a small church, and a substantial number of people are away, that can make a huge impact especially if you're trying to minister to new people. And in our day and time, people are visually impacted, and occupied chairs make a much better impression than empty chairs. So I was struggling with that. It's like, man, this is another one of those Sundays. And I've been through enough of those Sundays to know that, you know, that which is temporary does not mean that it is permanent. But God was merciful to me. And on that Monday, I had a number of people that were contacting me, people who, you know, are relatively new to the church. And they were saying, hey, you know, just want to let you know this is what's going on, but we're going to be there just as soon as we can get back and stuff like that. And it was like, it was a little bit of encouragement. And so I know this, my commitment to Jesus is not based upon anything external, but, you know, every once in a while having some visual evidence of impact certainly doesn't hurt. So we love one another because we want to benefit people in godly relationships. Okay. Love, it goes on here. Let's see. It says, here's how Jesus described it. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's exactly what he did. He says here, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Did you know that we live in a day and time where people are having fewer and fewer friends, real life friends, all the while they're accumulating, you know, numbers of internet friends, social media friends, and things like that. And so if, you know, on social media it says, will you accept this friend request? Well, Jesus' definition of a friend is somewhat different. Okay. So I do want to tell you that there are different relationships that are described in the Bible. There are strangers. There are neighbors. There are friends. There's brothers. And then there's those that you walk in covenant with. There may be many others in there as well. But those terms are best described, best defined by God. And, you know, we may describe a friend as someone we have conversation with, we interact on occasion, maybe we have similar interests or things like that. But Jesus here begins his definition of a friend as this: you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now, there are some people that say, well, wait a minute now. That's not the dynamic that I want my relationship with my friends to be on. I don't want them to expect that they're only my friends because I do what they want to. I want to remind you, we're not talking about human relationships here. We're talking about Jesus. You know, there's an old hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. And again, the earthly standards of friends are only a foreshadowing of what the ultimate friendship with God looks like. You know, the Bible describes being a friend of God. And being a friend of God says, I like spending time with him, but I also recognize their expertise. I've got some friends that are experts in fields that I do not have expertise in. Whenever that happens, I defer to their expertise. And so I want to, if I've called a friend of mine and said, look, I'm dealing with something here. What do I need to do? And they tell me what to do. I'm going to do what they said because they are an expert in that field. And Jesus is an expert in every field. But ultimately for us, the best understanding that we can have is he is an expert in all things spiritual and all things relational. He's an expert on how to do life. So we are best served when we do not fight against our friend, but instead we embrace his expertise and say, when he tells me to do this, that's what I'm going to do. So my brother, he and I have always, been pretty similar in passions, things we like to do. And when we were growing up, we shot pretty similar scores golfing, but we were built differently. He had a more athletic build than I did. And now we're not that much, we're the same height and things like that. But I can tell you when he hits a golf ball, it sounds different than when I hit a golf ball. Earlier this year, I was out, visiting my dad. He had had a medical episode the day that I was leaving to go out there to see him anyway, and got out there the next day. That was on Sunday. Got out there Monday. Got him out of the hospital on Tuesday. Had him out on the golf course on Thursday, and we were having a little family tournament, a little mini scramble tournament, and we were playing with some of my nephews. And my brother, who, went to college on a golf scholarship because of his high school golfing ability. I wish that I had gone to the high school he works at now, because I would have got on the golf team and been the best golfer on the team back in the days when I was in high school. I shot better then than what they do now, and they have better equipment. So, our nephews are just learning to play the game. And so the second nine we switched, and it was a nephew and the siblings. It was the olders versus the youngers. And my brother gave this one nephew a tip, and he implemented the tip. And then he just absolutely crushed a golf ball. It went way down there. It was just a beautiful shot. And as long as he was doing what my brother was coaching him to do, he was doing phenomenal. But after the round was over, he said, yeah, well, this is what he said to do, but I'm not going to do that. And it's like, well, he can figure some things out by himself, but it would have been a lot better if he had done what his expert told him to do. I can tell you this, we need to treasure the word of God. Jesus is not just telling us things for information's sake. I don't know if you've ever taken a test and you were studying to pass the test. You weren't studying to learn principles that were going to benefit you in life. I did that. I studied, and to be honest with you, a lot of the things that we studied in school, I I implement very little of that in my life. But when Jesus is teaching us something, when he is commanding us to do something, we have a decision to make, and God has given us a free will. He's given us the ability to choose. We need to make sure that we choose to do what he has commanded us to do. And over the past few weeks, I've realized that there's a passage of scripture that if we will submit ourselves to the authority of the command of the Word of God, that there will be benefit to us. We will be kept. And you can go back and read in Psalm 91. We will be spared from a lot of hardship and a lot of catastrophe. It may not mean that everything will be rosy, and it definitely doesn't mean that everything will be comfortable, but it will keep us in alignment with the heart of God, with the plan of God, the purpose of God, and it'll set us up for the eternal joy of being in his presence. So, if you are a child of God, if you're a friend of God, you're not going to be fighting against him. You're going to realize that he is the greatest blessing that has ever happened to you in your life. And what a privilege it is to hear from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I want to encourage you to get into the Word of God. It is the disclosure of the nature of God, the love of God that he has for us, and he teaches us how we should live. And so I just want to encourage you. He keeps people informed. He tells us what we should do because he wants us to have the best relationship and live life to the full that we can have. He lives and serves in a sacrificial manner for the betterment of us. And as a result of that, we're going to live in a sacrificial manner so that he can use us to reach more people with the love of Jesus. So let me sum it up here. If you love someone, you're going to keep them informed. I pray that the silent treatment comes to an end in Christian marriages. I pray that keeping secrets from one another will not be a dynamic in your relationship. Instead, I pray that there would be open lines of communication and that we will live sacrificially and we will love one another as Christ has loved us. God bless you. You have a great day. We will be back tomorrow here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.